Turning your Bibles to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter number 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. We'll look at three verses tonight, 11, 12, and 13. I'll read verses 11 and 13. If you'll join me on verse number 12, we'll read there 1 Timothy chapter number 5. Stand with me, please. 1 Timothy 5, I'll begin verse number 11. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Let's go ahead, go Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, I thank you so much for a church where we can come, and Lord, a pastor that we have, Lord, who preaches not only what we want to hear, but Lord, what we need to hear. And I pray, Lord, that you please just fill him with your Holy Spirit's power. I pray, Lord, that you please help us to be filled with the Holy Spirit as well, to receive what is preached. I pray, Lord, that you please be with the special music, prepare our hearts with it. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Be in my name a shining legacy. I thought it might be in a goal for success to follow me. I thought it might be in a plan to sail across the seas, but I didn't find what I really need. I found it all when I lost everything and gave my life to serve a risen King. I found the truth that I've been searching for. I found it all when I found the Lord.
I'm letting go of all my ways that I think are best for me. I'm laying everything. I think my life should be. I'm leaving everything I am right at Jesus' feet. For it's here I find everything I need. I found it all
when I lost everything and gave my life to serve a truth that I've been searching for. I found it all when I found the Lord. I found it all when I lost everything and gave my life to serve a risen King. I found the truth searching for. I found it all when I found the Lord. I found the truth that I've been searching for. I found it all when I found the Lord. I found it all when I found the
Thank you very much. Enjoyed the good song tonight. The Christian life is full of paradoxes, isn't it? A king had to die so that we could live. And you give to get, and you find it when you lose it all. That's different, isn't it? But it's true. It's the way it works in God's economy. So thank you, ladies. I want to speak tonight on when wondering leads to wandering. When wondering, W-O-N-D-E-R-I-N-G, wondering leads to wandering, W-A-N-D-E-R-I-N-G. So let's pray. We'll look at this text, make an application, And then Brother Mick will come at the close and we'll find out what happened today. Father, we're thankful tonight for the privilege to preach Your Word. I pray that You'd help us take this very practical message. May it help us tonight, Lord, just to be right in our lives with You and with each other. We'll thank You for it. Give us Your Spirit's blessing on what is said. May we help, Lord, by giving our best to concentrate. And will You please speak to us as only You can in Jesus' name. And amen. I wrote this down to say something about it because for the second time today in the last, I don't know, month, I was just, nobody came tattletaling or anything like that, but just people mentioned to me, man, you got folks texting in church. Now, that's the second time in 4 weeks I've heard that. Folks, I don't see, if I see that, I will call it down. I'll call it down, okay? If I see it, I'll call it down. But the problem is, most times it's in your laps and below where I can see. But look, if you're texting during church, you need some help. You need some help. If you're so addicted to that thing that you can't put it away out of your hand for an hour and a half, you're addicted to it. You're addicted to it. So I don't know what could be more important than hearing something from God. Okay? So let me encourage you to turn. I don't even like it on vibrate. You say, oh, I got it on vibrate. When you feel the vibration, it still breaks your concentration. You think about something else. Mine's not on me. It's away. In fact, it's the greatest day of the week right now because I don't have my cell phone with me. So, you know, please do yourself a favor. And that's very disrespectful. Not just to the Lord first. And so, and I'll probably try to say that next Sunday morning if I remember. But, you know, between now and next Sunday morning is 7 days, and you forget a lot when you get older, all right? So, but I wanted to say that tonight. Just stay plugged in, amen? And let's see what we can get into. All right, yeah, modern technology is fascinating, amen? And very useful, and the Internet is one of the modern advantages that is available to us. And like it or not, the children of this generation are growing up with the Internet as a normal, common part of their life. To tell a kid today to disregard the Internet, to not be interested in the Internet, would be like asking kids not to be interested in the radio back in the 30s and 40s. We asking people not to be interested in television in the late 50s and 60s. Internet's not going anywhere. It's a part of life. It's here to stay, not just here in the United States of America, but around the world. And like it or lump it, there are advantages with the Internet. It's nice if you have family living far away to go on the Skype or whatever other program that might be available to use. And on that screen there, see your family. And of course, I've told you about that with the kids over in Madagascar and the grandkids. It has been a blessing to be able to put our eyes on them. You know, we can talk to them, but think about it. If you didn't see them for, you know, 3.5 years, that'd be a long time. The kids would grow up, of course. And so it's nice to put our eyes on them. We do that with my folks in Florida. I'll get Dad and Mom on the phone, usually on a Friday or Saturday evening, and get them on Skype, and we'll sit down and talk to them, and they love it. They enjoy it. And so from that aspect, it's a blessing. I personally like it during Christmas season. You can call me Scrooge or whatever, but when you can sit at home within the confines of your nice house, and it's warm, and you're not looking for a parking place, and you're not sloshing through melted snow, and you're not standing in long lines, and you're just clicking here and clicking there, and free shipping, and free shipping, and free shipping, and it comes to your door. Man, now that's hard to beat, folks. That is hard to beat. Well, you're missing the Christmas spirit. No, I'm more in the Christmas spirit doing that than I am about getting into a fight in a department store, okay? So that's an advantage. I like some of the how-to help that is abundant on the Internet. I have fixed things that I had no idea how to fix because I went online and said, how do you do this? And it came up and I was able to watch and followed it one step by step and was able to fix things that I would have had to pay somebody else to fix. Because I found it on the Internet. You know, many are using it for opportunities to sell items and make a few dollars on eBay and other places. There's lots of advantages and good ones to the Internet. But as it is with everything, whatever man touches, man taints. Whatever man, and certainly he has tainted the internet. The downsides, pornography is more accessible now than it ever has been. It is easier for predators to stalk naive young people than it ever has been. Access to other evil-minded adults has never been easier. Scamming people has become huge. Identity theft is rampant. People have had their bank accounts emptied, and on we could go. That's all about the downside, and there's more. Then, unfortunately, it has become a convenient and easy tool for people to stick their noses into other people's business. And as Paul mentioned in this passage, tattlers and busybodies speaking things which they ought not. Now, let me tell you about this passage in 1 Timothy. This passage is about the church's responsibility to the widows. Actually, it's about which widows the church has a responsibility to look after. And not all of the widows qualify for being looked after by the church. And you understand, this is before the day of Social Security and pensions and life insurance policies and welfare and all of that that the government has today. But, for instance, one of the stipulations, a widow under 60 years of age was not qualified to receive the church's care. She had to be over 60. And there are other stipulations listed in verses 9 and 10. And verse number 11, Paul wrote, and he said that younger widows refuse. Whoa. He's not talking about salvation. He's not talking about church membership. He's not talking about church service. He's talking about being cared for by the church. Don't take the responsibility of caring for younger widows, because a lot of times, unfortunately, like he wrote here, a younger widow will get antsy while she waits for God to bring another man into her life, and she'll lower her standards and just because of lonesomeness at times, start, you know, marry somebody that she shouldn't marry, and her heart will get turned away from Christ. She'll come under judgment. And so Paul wrote and said, don't take the younger widows under the church's care. They have to be over 60 years of age. If they have any other family that can care for them, the church is not responsible. And they have to be well reported of for good works, it says in this passage. So Paul gives all these stipulations that qualify which widows in the church are supposed to be cared for by the church. And then he comes to verse number 13 and he says, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Now, I gave you the interpretation of this passage, and I want to now make the application that has never been. Being a wanderer from house to house, tattling and busybody, speaking things which they ought not, that has never been more convenient and easy as it is today because of social media. I'm not anti-social media. But folks, you've got to use it for the glory of God. My application tonight is not just for women. This passage is about women, widows. My application tonight is not just for women. It's not just for teenagers. It's not just for, it's for men. It's for everybody, all of us. Although I will say this, I think the stay-at-home moms, and I like the stay-at-home mom thing. I think that's healthy. I think that's the best possible way to do it. But stay-at-home moms are probably the group that most easily falls into this practice, because you're at home, the kids are at school, or you're at home and the kids are grown, and the TV is dumb, and there's a bunch of wicked programs during the day, and a bunch of garbage on there that you don't want to watch, so you go to the internet, and it's downhill from there. If you're not disciplined, if you're not careful. And it's not just stay-at-home moms, it's working moms too. It's not just moms, it's dads, it's teenagers. But you can get on this social media and you can violate the principle that Paul was talking about here when he laid down these principles for the widows. Now, I just want to break this verse number 13 down for us. Look at the descriptions in this verse. Just look at them one by one. First, the word that Paul uses is the word idle, and he uses it twice. Okay, the word idle is mentioned in that verse twice. They learn to be idle and not only idle. The word idle means inactive. It means slothful. It means not occupied. It means unfruitful. And folks, what I'm about to say is not an exaggeration. It's not just good preaching. This is the truth. People spend hours on end, hours on social media. Hours. And hours and hours and hours. And that's no exaggeration. That's no embellishment. Sometimes while the sun is shining, it's a beautiful day outside, or while the house needs attention, or while the kids need attention, or the yard needs attention, or God wants attention. And it's hours and hours and hours. I told you before, I don't know when I told this in the previous message, but somebody sent me an email, and with the email there was a link. And I opened the link because it was an email from a friend. I opened the link, and it opened to a blog. And I had never been on that before. And so it opened to a blog, and I was reading it. It was a lengthy blog. And then people started responding to the man that was writing the blog. And I started reading that, and then more people responded. I think it was actually caught up in a live, is that possible, where you catch up in a live interactive blog where people are writing and people are, and I'm just sitting there and people are writing. And by the time I looked at my watch, 45 minutes had passed. I shut it off and I said, I'm not doing that. That's a waste of time. I gained nothing from 45 minutes of that. Nothing. It was totally unproductive. It was completely unfruitful. But that's how much time we can burn. We make a total abuse of the time that God has given us. And something productive and profitable and helpful and useful goes undone while hours are spent on social media. Hours and hours. You say, why do you keep saying hours? I want to drill it in your head and mind tonight, because that's what happens. People spend hours and hours and hours on the social media. Idleness, by the way, folks. Idleness, in case you go, well, that's not a very bad thing. One of the sins that led to the downfall of the city of Sodom that's listed in Ezekiel chapter 16 is the abundance of idleness. So don't dismiss this as just a minor problem. You see, when people are idle, it chips away at the foundation of a society. It chips away at the foundation of a family. It chips away at the foundation of a country. It chips away at the foundation of a church. When people are idle, it chips away at the foundation of an individual life. Idleness chips away at the foundation. Because one of the elements that makes up the foundation of anything is a good work ethic. And when you're sitting in front of a laptop or a desktop or an iPad for hours, hours and hours and hours being idle on your computer, it's chipping away, believe it or not, at the foundation of your life. Unproductive. Unfruitful. Man, if you've got your laptop on, if you've got your desktop on, if you're on your iPad, use it for something productive. And I said this morning, you know, very early this morning, I was writing thank you letters because I had my messages done, my Sunday school lesson was done, and for some reason I woke up at 3:50, 3:45, I got up a little bit before 4 o'clock, and prayed, and read my Bible, had a good time with the Lord, and then I got on the computer and I typed some thank you letters. And that it was quick and it was fast, and I'm sending similar letters to several different guys, so I was able to do all that. It's a blessing when you use it productively. But when you get on social media and spend hours and hours just being idle, I know, hey, I didn't expect a loud amens tonight. I didn't expect a bunch of swinging from the, yeah, because it hits us where we live. Idle. Now, the second word in this verse that I want to draw your attention to in verse number 13 is the word wandering. W-A-N-D-E-R-I-N-G. So here it is. Idleness, sitting in front of the social media for hours and hours and hours, eventually leads to wandering. I wonder what that person is like. I wonder what they're doing. I wonder what's going on their website or their. And forgive me if the terminology I'm using isn't proper, because folks, I don't go on Facebook. Now, I'm not condemning you if you do. We have a Facebook page for the church. I've never seen it. I hope what's on there is proper and decent. I've never seen it. But so if I don't use proper terminology, bear with me. Now, we understand, look at that, we're wandering about from house to house. We understand that, right? Back in this day, somebody says, oh, they're idle, there's nothing to do, they're not engaged in something productive or fruitful, or doing something positive, so they wonder what's going on over at so-and-so's house. And so they walk over there, find out what's going on at so-and-so's house. Or walk down the road, find out what's going on at so-and-so's house. Now you don't have to leave your house to find out what's going on at so-and-so's house. Now you use social media. And you wonder. Because you wonder. Wondering leads to wandering. So you don't have to get out of your house and go see the neighbor and find out what the neighbor's doing. The implication here in this verse, folks, is the reason the idle person wanders from house to house is to find information. I wonder what's going on at the Joneses. I wonder what's going on at the Sullivans. I wonder what's going on at the Carpenters. And so I'm going to walk over there because I live in Bible days before there's internet, modern means of communication. But now, you don't have to leave your house. You just, and you're there. It's out there. And wondering leads to wandering. And hours is spent. See what this person is doing? What this person is saying? What this person is doing? What they got going on in their life? The truth of the matter is, folks, it's really none of our business. Now, I want to say tonight, this has a double edge to it. People who put pictures and information about themselves on sites where potentially thousands of people can see the pictures and read the information, really have no one to blame but themselves if people go on and look at them. You don't have to put your pictures on there. I read something very interesting. Peter Bulkley, he was a Puritan leader who founded the city of Concord, Massachusetts back in the day when the country was being formed. He lived from 1583 to 1659. And this is what he said back in that era, okay? He said, "We are as a city set upon a hill. We profess ourselves to be people in covenant with God. If we open the mouths of men against our profession by reason of the scandalousness of our lives, we of all men shall have the greater sin." Did you catch what he said? If the way we live causes people to open their... If the scandalousness of our lifestyle causes people to open their mouths against us, it's not shame on them, it's shame on us. We put the bullet in their gun. We gave them the ammunition. So it is a two-edged sword. You say, well, I just meant for, you know, our family or just a few friends to see that or read that. Folks, if you don't want people seeing or reading what's going on, don't put it on the internet, period. Period. It's amazing to me. You know, and I'll preach a message here on a certain subject, and I'll hear Monday, if I'm traveling somewhere to preach, somebody will say, yeah, I heard you preach such at your church last night. How they get it, I don't know. Maybe somebody went online and said, this is what Pastor Angel preached about. It goes around the world. You know, I really and truthfully, I mean this, you know, I'd kind of like for Faith Baptist Church business just to be our business. Just to be ours. You know, let the gospel go around the world. You know, this is what I'm talking about, folks. It goes all over the place. Now, that being said, and again, bear with me with my terminology. I think the word is troll. I think that's the word. I'm not going to say because I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to bug you. But you guys got a trolling motor on your boat. Some of you have a fishing boat. Trolling motor, usually on the front of the boat. You might have a big outboard motor on the back of it, but in the front of the boat, you got a trolling motor. And you just want to kind of just putz along the coast, the side of the bank of the pond or the creek or whatever, you know, you just kind of, it's a real quiet motor. You know what I'm talking about, troll. And it just kind of moves you around. Now, I think that's the word. People go on social media and they troll looking for information on someone. Now, if you're into that, you know what I'm talking about. I may not be using the right terminology, but folks, you know what that is? That's basically wandering from house to house. What's going on at this person's house? What's going on in this person's life? What's going on in this page? What's going on this page? And what's going? But you know, so you go here and this friend, and so okay, well I'm a friend with that friend. I can go on that page, and then there's another, oh I can know that friend, and then you work your way around until you finally get to where you want to go. And I may be all goofed up on that. I've never done it. I just listen to people talk. You're wandering. You're wandering around trolling. What are you trolling? Trolls live under bridges. You ever read the story of the troll? Just trolling around, looking for information, looking for stuff. And I just want to pray for them. Okay, I'd be real interested in knowing how much time you spent praying for them. Oh Lord, bless her. What's next? Folks, it's really being a busybody. That's what it is. Even though it has been placed on a site where potentially millions of people can see it, that doesn't mean you have to or should go searching for it. Wandering. Wandering leads to wandering. You know, probably a good way to do this, if you really are eaten up with wondering what's going on, you could look a person in the eye and say, hey, ask him a question. But you wouldn't want to do that. You wouldn't want to look somebody in the face. You'd rather read it on the internet. Trolling. Amen, Brother Terry. I didn't think it'd be a lot of shouting tonight, but that's all right. Wandering. Wandering. Idle wandering. Now, look at the third category, the third definition or description here toward the end of the verse. Tattlers also and busybodies. I call that babbling. Speaking things which they ought not. Tattlers, busybodies. Speaking things which they ought not. Ought not what? Ought not speak. Either by spoken or written word. Folks, do you know that not everything that is true needs to be said? You know, I guess that's... I haven't kept up much with this presidential campaign, but I guess from what I hear and read, just coming into church, catching the news, or looking at... I guess that's what Trump's handlers are just, you know I guess he says a lot of things that are true, but, you know, Donald, you don't have to always say what's on your mind, you know. Just because it's true doesn't mean you have to say it. Okay? Just say it. You remember in 2 Samuel, remember in 1 Samuel chapter 31, Saul and Jonathan go to battle versus the Philistines, and Saul and Jonathan die. Remember that? In 2 Samuel chapter 1, somebody comes to David with the news that King Saul and his son Jonathan were killed in battle. By the way, remember David's first response? Oh, how the mighty are fallen. You say, he said that about Saul? Here's another good thing, folks. Just because a guy is your enemy, a guy does evil things, bad things to you, it doesn't mean that you have to get better at him. Oh, how the mighty are fallen. And then what did David say? Tell it not in Gath. And then, do you think this is an accident? Publish it. Publish it not in the streets of Ascalon. That's an interesting word. Publish. Hello. Look, did Saul die? Yes. Did Jonathan die? Yes, that's true. But David said, keep a lid on it. It doesn't need to be told. All it's going to do is give occasion for the heathen to rejoice and shake their fist in the face of God. So don't tell it in Gath. Don't publish it. This thing ought not to be spoken. And there are things that are true, that are available to learn on the internet. Things that people do and say. They post by way of picture or words on different sites. They put the info out there, but it doesn't have to be told. It shouldn't be told. It shouldn't be passed from site to site, to person to person. Tell it not. Don't publish it. And by the way, be careful what you pass on as being true. Missions Conference Sunday morning, Sunday school, Brother Dan DeLong spoke here. Somebody asked him about the influence of Hillsong churches in Australia. And he talked about it. And then I got up and followed it up with a story that I had read on the internet, on a trusted site, news site. And some of you may remember this, about a church that baptized people by use of a water slide. Remember that? And Rick Thacker, and I appreciate this, he approached me, after, he said, after Sunday school, after church that morning, he said, I would never ever correct you, but I just want to make you aware of something. He said, there is a site, a group of people, what's the name of it, Rick? The Babylonian Bee, who does satirical Christian articles to reflect poorly on Christianity. That was a completely made up story. Right? And I told it to you. Remember how we all went, and it wasn't even true. I got caught. And usually I'm pretty good, because I get these emails sometimes from guys, and there's another site that Brother Oswardy told me about called Snopes, and you can check, you can fact check. And it's amazing how many emails you get when you go on Snopes. They're not true. Or they're 40 years old. The people are dead and gone. It's crazy. So you have to be careful just accepting something that's true that you read or you think you saw on a website somewhere. You know, just stop wandering. Just stop. You know, parents have kids who grow up and become young adults and who go out on their own. And sometimes, sadly, those young adults choose to walk away from what they have been taught and how they were trained and how they were raised. I gave some attention to that. Was it on a Wednesday night? Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. And that preacher in Texas, when I was at that conference, that youth conference this summer, and he said, my take on that verse is this, and how he explained it made sense to me. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. He may not be reared. He may not live. She may not live as they were trained, but they will never forget how they were trained. That will never depart from them. And boy, the light came on because I've knocked on doors and talked to people, invited them to church, and they said, you know what? I was reared in the Baptist church. I am not living like I was taught. It never has left them. They live with a guilty conscience in some ways. Sometimes young adult children, not young children, adult children, young children grow up, become adult children, and they choose to live ways that their parents, it breaks the parents' heart is already broken, the parents' heart is already hurting, and then someone comes along to let them know that they're aware of what their child is doing. I saw some pictures, I'm just so sorry. Folks, look at me. That does not help. All that does is confirm the fear that's in their heart. Oh man, I hope nobody sees that. Then you come and blab that you saw it. Hello? Well, hush. That didn't help anybody. And in some cases, the parents themselves aren't keeping up with their adult children's lives that they know are disappointing them. They haven't seen the pictures, but you have. Because you're wandering. It's quiet in here, isn't it? This is very practical tonight, but I'm going to tell you what, that's wrong, folks. That's wrong. Now, you get a school, like our school that has rules and there's regulations that have to go by to be in the Christian school because it's supposed to have a level of dedication and commitment, and we have rules, and sometimes it's learned that a kid is involved in social media where they shouldn't be, and sometimes we follow up on that, and I'm not apologizing for that. But listen, if you stumble onto information and you feel like somebody needs to know to help somebody, take it to someone who can help. This happened, I don't think I've ever told you this. I don't know, maybe six, I lose track of time. So it could have been 6 months, it could have been a year ago. I was coming into town and I needed fuel. So I stopped at the Briarcliff Shell Station. And I pulled up by the pump and I got out, you know, and I had to put the nozzle in. Remember the days when you just pulled the thing out and lifted the thing and started pumping gas? Beep, 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 beep. All I want is some fuel. I don't need to watch the football game. I don't need to listen to the news. I just want some fuel for my car. Are y'all with me? You know, remember when life was just simple? In fact, on the way to Mackinac Island, I pulled into a gas station and they came out and pumped my gas. Where have you been? Of course, I paid like $3 for a gallon, you know. But anyway. So I'm over here, and I jump, I look, and here, sitting beside the gas pumps, and I forget now, it was either a briefcase or a piece of luggage, a duffel bag, sitting beside the gas pump. And I was cleaning my windows, you know, so, and I finished pumping the gas, and, you know, more beeps, you know, and get my receipt. And, jumped in the car, started driving to the church. There's a briefcase sitting by a gas pump. Or a duffel bag. I forget what it was. But it was a piece of... There's an unattended bag sitting by a gas pump. So, I called the non-emergency Bourbonnais police line that I have programmed into my phone. So, this is Terry Angel. And I just was at the Shell gas station up here at Briarcliff, got some gas, and happened to notice a duffel bag or briefcase, whatever it was, I told him, sitting beside the gas pumps. I was on pump number whatever it was, 4. Okay, sir, thank you very much. I'll have an officer check on it. Now, I stumbled onto it. I didn't go looking for it. I stumbled onto it. And the best thing for me to do was not to start calling everybody up and telling them, hey, there's a bag by the gas pump at Shell. The best thing for me to do is to go to somebody who could do something about it. And unless I missed it, there was no explosion. So somebody just probably overlooked their bag and they set out of their car. Now, if you stumble onto something on the internet, you know, if it's an adult child of someone in this church who's gone a different direction, you know what? Who needs to know that, folks? And you don't need to go up and say anything. You say, well, I'm really concerned. Even if you're really concerned, before you go to bed, get on your knees and say, God, please help her. Please help him. I doubt you did that. But you found a way to get to Dad, Mom, or somebody else and say, that's not helping. Wandering leads to wandering, which will then lead to babbling, speaking things that ought not to be spoken. You know what the best thing to do, folks, is just kick it in the head by avoiding idleness. Idleness is where it starts. So find something productive to do. Find something fruitful. Find something that has some purpose. And the base root of this thing is just idleness. That's what it is. Kick idleness in the head. You won't be tempted to wander. If you don't wander, you won't wander. And when you're out wandering and you see something you shouldn't, you won't be tempted to start speaking it to somebody else. And if you find something that needs to be attended to, you go to somebody that can actually help. But don't be a busybody and a tattler. Let's just mind our own business. Amen? and pray for somebody. If you're really concerned, pray for them. That's what they need. When wandering leads to wandering. Let's pray. Father in heaven, take this. I don't even know if this was preaching. I guess it was just a talk. I don't know what it was, but it's based upon principles found in your word. Pray that you take it. Help us, Lord, to be people of integrity and character. And, Lord, to refuse to be bearers of bad news and evil. And I pray that you'll bless folks, Lord, in this church. We can't change the world, but we can helpfully change our church. And, Lord, make our lives pleasing to you. So speak to our hearts tonight in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one is looking. I doubt very seriously if this is one of these messages where there's going to be a flood of people to come to the altar. Nobody wants to move, and that's okay. But if it came across your toes tonight, would you just in your seat right there talk to the Lord and say, God, I have been guilty of wandering. Are you Googling names? What are you doing, Googling names? God, too much of my time, too much of the time you've given me has been spent in idleness. Help me and forgive me. Do a little business with God right where you sit. I doubt you're going to come forward. If you're here tonight, you're not sure that you're saved. By that, I mean you don't have the assurance that if you die, you'll go to heaven. We can have somebody show you from the Bible how you can be saved. If you're here tonight, you've been saved and never baptized, you can come tonight and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. If you're not sure that you're saved, I would like to pray for you. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice in the auditorium tonight, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved on my way to heaven. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand in the air? Just slip it up where I can see it and take it right back down. All right, let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, bless us, I pray. Help us to live for you. Help us, Lord, to live clean, honest, and truthful before you. In Jesus' name I pray.